He had saved. And my goodness, what a great blessing, huh? I appreciate all you visitors here. Huh? Boy, the Lord, hey, young man, looks good sitting there. It looks like your spot right there. Amen. All of you, we're glad you're here. Just quickly this morning, we are going to have church tonight. This will be the last night of camp meeting. So be here tonight at 6 o'clock. I know some people that get so fired up, they lay out on Sunday night. And that's the wrong kind of fired up.
Yes, sir.
All right. Galatians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians. And I want you to look at verse number 11, where he said this. He said, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Now, he did not mean, I'm scared of you, like I'm afraid you're going to beat me up or something like that. He said, I'm afraid that I've wasted all this time that I put in you, and you're going to blow it, mess around and quit on God, and quit church and get backslid. He said, I'm afraid of you. What he meant was, I'm afraid that I've preached to you, and I've witnessed you, and I've instructed you, and I've taught you, and it's just been a waste of time. Every preacher feels like that once in a while. Can't help it. When something like happened, just like what happened here a minute ago, it's, man, that makes you want to charge hell with a water pistol, like you say. But many times it's not like that. And honest to goodness, y'all have been so nice to me this morning that I hate to preach this sermon. I really do. Would it be all right if I fussed at you just a little bit? I hate to do that, really. I'm like, my goodness, somebody, it's like somebody give you an ice cream and you slap them. That's awful. That's awful to do somebody. But here's where I got it. I was running the other morning, and I was running down Hoppy Tom, and when I'm running, I think deep thoughts. Really do. Deep theological, philosophical thoughts. All kinds of things about trees and nature and God and heaven and hell and everything. And this come to me just as plain as day. And I thought, Sunday, they talk about Pastor Appreciation Day. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. It's all over the radio. You see it on church signs everywhere. It's a nationwide thing. I think it's good. And it ought to be. And I appreciate my pastor a lot. He's in heaven this morning. He died a few years ago. And he's gone home to be the Lord. If he is here this morning, I'd hug his neck. Tell him I appreciate him preaching to me. And Brother Ed, was like, I feel that same way about Brother Ed that preached last night. And so I got to thinking about that. And I thought about all the people, y'all saying you appreciate me. And, oh, man, that's a blessing. That is really, really a blessing. And I begin to think, our people, y'all expect certain things of me. You expect me to be a certain way. And I tell you, there's a saying that a lot of people use, and every time I hear it, I just get all tore up and everything. I think, my goodness, why can somebody say something like that? And if something comes up, and I'll say something like, well, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, and they'll say, well, da, 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 da. And I'll say, well, what if I did that? Or what if I said that?
Yeah.
And they always say, but you're a preacher. And I always say, what does that matter? Have you ever heard anybody say that? But you're a preacher. And they got this idea that preachers are supposed to be way up here somewhere, live on a higher level than the rest of us, and somehow or another, it's all right for me to just do whatever I want to because I'm not a preacher. Well, guess what? I hate to tell you this morning, but if something's wrong for me to do, guess what? It's wrong for you to do.
Yeah.
That's right. And boy, I'm telling you, if a preacher steps up for, I can't believe that. He's a preacher. Well, I'm going to tell you, I can't believe that. You're a Christian. Ain't that right? Now, I know why we get judged so hard, because we're up here hollering and screaming like this. I understand. When you open your mouth for the Lord, people are going to put their magnifying glass. I get that. I got it. I'm willing to take the punishment. I knew a long time ago when I started preaching that I was going to get punished for it. And I understand that. Comes with the job. I expect it. Ain't complaining. I get worried if I don't have something bad happen to me every now and then. I mean, that's just the way life is, and especially when you take a stand for the Lord. It's like going out, and it's like going down there on the interstate and holding signs saying, stop. You're going to get run over. And that's the way it is preaching. You stand in front of this world and say, you're wrong, you're wrong. Wham! And they're going to run right over you. And I expect that. But I'm getting to think about that, and I thought, there's certain things that I expect. And my message this morning is, what should a pastor expect from the people in the church? You hear a lot of things about, well, we expect our pastor to do this, we expect our pastor to do that, and we expect our pastor... That's fine. That's fine. I agree with you. A pastor ought to live up to a certain biblical standard. You ought to. But I hate to say this, and I won't say it nice as I can, but so should you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So should everybody in here, and I mean every single person. None of you are exempt. If you claim to be a Christian this morning, God has a way He wants you to do too. He sure does. He sure does. And so I want to say three things this morning. And since we're a little bit late, I'll say them real quick. Here's what comes in. I was running. This just coming in my head. It's like somebody's writing it, a typewriter in my head. I think there's three words. Living, loyal, loving. Actually, in this order. Loyal, loving, living. I think our church expects me as the preacher to be all of those things. You expect me to be loyal. You expect me to be loving. And you expect me to be living. People say, well, you ought to live what you preach. That's exactly right. You sure should. I don't argue that one bit. We're going to preach it. We ought to be willing and try our best to live what we preach. But on a side note, they ain't no preacher lives everything he preaches unless he's a sorry preacher. You know what I preach? Perfection. Sinless perfection. Do I live it? No, not always. That's my goal, right? I ain't perfect, but I preach you ought to be. I ain't perfect, but I preach I ought to be. Amen? Well, what good the preacher gets up here and say, well, you can just do whatever you want to. Well, shut up then. I mean, go get you a real job selling vacuum cleaners or something. I mean, a preacher is supposed to preach up here, do right, and then he's supposed to do right, and then the one he preached to is supposed to do right too. And when you fail, you confess it and repent and then try again and do the best you can. Now, this morning, we'll talk about being loyal. I ought to be loyal to our church. I don't think anybody in here can charge me with saying, I am not loyal to this church. I am. God, by God's grace, brother, this is my place, this is my spot, this is my job, and by the grace of God, I'm here. Let me just put it to you this way. I don't think there was a person in here this morning that walked in that door wondering if I was going to be here. I don't think none of you. There's not a person in here this morning that walked in and said, wonder if Danny's going to be there today. You knew. I've spoiled y'all. You knew I was going to be. You know that I'm going to be in my place. Now, I wish I could say that about you. I really do. I wish I could stand up here and say, buddy, I knew you was going to be. But I can't say that. I can't say that about it. But don't start that with me. Listen, if I'm supposed to go to church, you're supposed to go to church. If I'm supposed to be loyal, you're supposed to be loyal. You say, well, I'll take my card back. Okay, I'll give you your card back. But it's the truth. It's the truth, I'm telling you. I remember one night, it was on Wednesday evening, I was in Hickory, and I was going to come to church. And I was down there, and I was sitting out in the middle of the road. Really, I was trying to pull out, but I was in the middle of the road, and this fellow came flying up the road, and he didn't see me, and something slammed on his brakes. And he had a Mercedes, one of them little Mercedes SUVs. All I could see is that Mercedes sign coming right at me. I thought, oh no. Slam! Slammed right inside of my car. And had to tow it. It totaled it. It's been 7 or 8 years ago. And it's on Wednesday evening. It was an hour time for church to start. And the police came. And the police had to fill out a report. And I said, look, I'm not trying to be ugly, but I got to go to church. I am a preacher. I've got to go to church. And my car, I had no way. My car was being hauled off by a wrecker. So I was trying to think of who lived closest. I called Brother Derek. You remember that evening I called you? I said, Brother, I'm down here at the first, right down there where 321 Interstate 40 crossed. I said, can you come and get me? And him and Shaughnessy and their kids come and got me. And they were sitting there waiting. I think, was the policeman still there when you... Was he already gone when y'all got there? Anyway, I said, can you do me first? I'm guilty, whatever. I was sitting in the middle road. I said, hey, and he did. He gave me a ticket, I think, for pulling out in front of somebody or something. But I was sitting still. God must have been blind. Anyway, long story short, it was about 7 o'clock and my phone was ringing off the hook. Brother Danny, where are you? Brother Danny, where are you? Brother Danny, where are you? I think my girl called. Linda Hout called. Somewhere. Brother Danny, you know why? Because they got to look around. It was 5 till and I wasn't here. And they thought, where is he? Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad. I'm glad that y'all don't have... I mean, what if I come walking in there about right now? Just come walking in that door. And here I come with my Bible. And y'all have done sung 3 or 4 songs. And you've done fellowship. And done took up the offering. And I said, I'm sleeping this morning. You'd say, my goodness, what kind of preacher... What kind of member are you? Lord have mercy, don't everybody shout all at the same time. What if I just didn't show up one Sunday? I mean, and didn't tell nobody. Everybody said, where's the preacher? Where's the preacher? I don't know. Where's the preacher? Well, who's going? I don't know. Somebody get up there. But Derek, get up here. Somebody lead the singing. Somebody did it. I mean, just flat out didn't show up. Didn't tell nobody I wasn't coming. You would be upset. If I'd done that 2 or 3 times, you'd say, something's wrong with him. Something is wrong. I mean, don't start that, but you're... Don't you say that to me. But you're a Christian. I understand I've got a responsibility. I understand I've got a job to fulfill. I get that. I get it. And please don't start this stuff. Yeah, but you get paid for preaching. I'm going to tell you something right now. You listen to me. Listen real good. Everybody got your ears on? Listen real good. You don't pay me for preaching. I preached before there was a shining light. And I preach after it's gone, if it ever gets gone. I preach for the Lord. I get paid to pastor. I get paid to help people, to counsel, to do all that. You don't pay a man to preach this book. You preach the book because you're called to preach. And God called me to preach that book right there. You don't pay me to preach. You don't pay me enough to get what I put up with junk I put up with. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, I expect you to be loyal. Amen. Listen, if I couldn't be here, I'd call somebody ahead of time, and I'd take you down just a little bit, brother. I'd call somebody ahead of time, and I'd say, hey, I can't be there. You fill in here. You do this. You do that. I mean, if you're not going to be there, at least let somebody know. At least let somebody. Don't just disappear. What if I didn't come this morning, and then I come back tonight, and everybody crowded around me and said, what was wrong with you? Where was you this morning? I said, I had a headache. And I've done that at least twice a month. I had a headache. I had a headache? You say, well, you don't know what's like. I have a headache just about every day. Amen? The King James Bible and Goody Powders puts me up here. God ordained Goody Powders for a sinful flesh. Like you Yankees don't even know. He don't even know what that is. Well, it looks like crack, I guess you would call it. Looks like it's a flat powder in a paper. That's what me and Carrie, when we went to California, we were taking one of them things, and that guy said, what is that? What is that you're taking? He was like, they thought it was cocaine. But I ain't never even seen no cocaine. I don't know. They say it looks like it. But it's not. It's not. Let me tell you something. Well, I expect you to be loyal. Amen. What if I just didn't show up? I expect you to be loyal. I expect you to be loyal. Number two, I expect you to be loving. Y'all, you expect me to love you? You expect me to put up with your junk? I expect you to put up with each other. Amen? Amen? Now somebody says, well, I went to Brother Danny and he just wouldn't even speak to me. All right. You treat each other the way you expect me to treat you.
It's good preaching, brother.
What if I came in here this morning and you try to talk to me, Brother T. Mr. Bentley's going to try to talk to me.
Danny, let me see you, man.
That's what some of y'all do. You know what he'd say? He'd go home and say, Merle, I tried to speak to Brother Danny. He walks right by me. You think he don't like me?
That's good.
Listen, if there's anybody, y'all listen to me this morning. I ain't trying to be mean. That Bible said that we ought to love one another.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, as I have loved you, so love you one another.
Amen.
Is anybody in here you can't speak to? You ask God to forgive you right now because you are wrong. And I'm talking about anybody. I'm talking about anybody. Yeah. Listen, there's a lot of y'all I can't hardly stand speak to. I'm just kidding. But I'm good to you and I'll speak to you even when you're mean to me. You know why I do that? For the Lord. I do it for the Lord. It ain't because I want to. It ain't because it comes natural. We do it because God said to. Expect you to be loving. I heard somebody say the other day, talking about their husband, and said, he's just hateful. All the time are hateful. Hey, listen. The Lord said for you to be loving. Everybody gets hateful sometime. There ain't no use you be hateful all the time to everybody. One lady told me, she said, my husband is hateful all the time because he's under so much stress. My answer to that is, your husband is not hateful and your wife is not hateful because they're under stress. They're hateful because they're backslid. I'm under stress too. I got a lot of it. My heart broke this week for several of our members that wasn't even here one night. I mean, it killed me. Hey, I thought, dear God, where they at? Dear God, we're having this great meeting. It hurts. I got a lot of stress. I got to preach this weekend in Florida, and I got a lot to do, and I carry the burden of the financial load and everything. Brother, I'm under stress too. Now, don't give me a chance. No excuse to be hateful to you. Amen. If my heart's right, I can be nice even if I'm under stress. Lord have mercy. I caught it this week. I told the Wednesday night crowd about it. Monday morning, eyes up, ready to go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Good service Sunday night. Coming down to Morganton. And I picked up a guy hitchhiking. He's sitting there hitchhiking. I pick him up all the time coming down 70. He got in. And I smelled a little bit of alcohol on his breath. And I turned the vents on so it'd suck it out the back, open the back window. This guy sat down. And I said, how you doing? He said, good. Where are you going? I said, I'm going down here at the bank in Morganton, then I'm going on into town. I was going up to the gym and run, and I picked him up, and he sat down, and he started talking, and I started talking to him, and I said, are you a Christian? And I started witness to him. He said, yes, but let me tell you something. And he started on me. He said that word saved, like you people say, it don't really mean saved, like you think it means. Okay? Neither what I thought it meant. But he said, what you think it means, it don't really mean that. He went in this Greek word this and this Greek word that, and he got into some kind of cult, and they done told him that saved meant, well, we're just really saved from our old lifestyle and stuff like that, and it didn't. And I just let him talk, because I thought, Lord, I'm not sick. You know, somebody gets into something like that, and they have you ever met these people, they figure out that all the churches are wrong, and their little group has the truth, and people like that are C-A-C-R-A-Z-Y. M-U-T-S. They fell off the wagon. Let me tell you something. You better stick with the traditional Bible-believing church meaning of a word, and the Bible meaning of that word saved is saved from hell. That's what you're saved from, hell. When a person tries to emphasize just being saved from your life, they are de-emphasizing the fact there's a hell.
Right.
Well, anyway, me and him sort of got into it, and finally, I was going to take him on to the soup kitchen. That's where he wanted to go. And I thought, foot, you want to fuss at me like this? I'll just pull into the bank as far as I'm going, buddy. Yeah. I know that's not nice. But you wouldn't even pick him up, so don't judge me.
Yeah.
And I put him out, and I said, see you later. He said, as far as you're going? I said, for right now it is. And he got out and took off. old hateful old thing. He needed to get his heart right. Then I stopped at the store. And there's one of these people, you don't never know where they're from nowadays. They run them stores. They ain't from around here, I can tell you that. And this guy said, you remember Jesus loves you? And he said, oh, okay. I said, Jesus, I thought he loved you. He said, which religion is oldest? I said, oh Lord, 2 and 2 hours? And I thought, well, we ain't been Christians but 2,000 years, and I know what he's going to say. He was from India, and he was a Hindu. He said, everything your religion knows, it learned from us. And he was trying to say that Christianity picked up a few truths from Hindus and made our religion, but they had the old truth all along. And I said, no, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. That's what I told him. And he said, no, we don't need to go between. We go directly to God. And I said, well, you must not have much of a God. We can't go directly to God. He's holy. We're sinners. We need somebody to bridge the gap. I said, Jesus got a hold of God in one hand, sinners with the other hand, and brought us together, and that's how I can get saved. He said, no, we don't need middleman. I said, he's a lawyer. He's like a go-between. He's like your lawyer in court. He goes between you and the judge. And I said, yeah, he's the one that gets us to God. And he said, no, don't need that. And boy, he started on me. And his mother come in. And now, some got them little red dots on her head. When you marry one of them girls, you scratch that off, see if you win a convenience store or a motel. But anyway, that's awful. Scratch that from the tape. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I expect us to be loving, amen. He said, which religion is oldest? I said, God and the Bible. And God made the world. And God made everything. And I'm telling you what, brother, you know what we ought to do? We ought to be loyal to the church and our community. When we're out there, we ought to stand up for the Lord. I purposely, when I go play ball with them guys up there, I wear a shirt that says something about God. I'll put a bumper sticker on my car. You know why? I want to be loyal to God when I'm out there in this community. Get you one. But get them out the bumper sticker. I was at the church this morning. I put a shirt on that says Shining Light Baptist Church on my back. And we're in a town, Walmart, wherever. You know why? I want to love my church. I want to be loyal to my church. But you're the preacher. But you're a member. I know people wear a shirt that's got everything else in the world wrote on it. Country singers, musicians, drinks, and everything else. Wear one with the Lord on it. Be loyal. What if you saw me uptown and I had on a Budweiser shirt? Really, what if I come in here next week and I have my nose pierced? Really? And a tank top? You'd say, it finally happened. She fell off the edge. I heard you can get $50 if you get somebody in Brompton. You'd be calling them. Check me in. Call them, see if they got a room. Oh, that's what you'd be saying. And you know what you'd say? If I said, well, what will you do? You'd say, but you're a preacher. That's what you'd say.
Yeah.
Listen, I ain't got time to get to all this stuff I was going to say. There's a preacher sitting here the other day, sit right over there, been preaching 50 years. He'd been preaching 50 years. And he just resigned his church, and we had him up here and took up a level for him. I felt so sorry for him. He felt like he just lost his life nearly. He resigned that church. And you know what he told me? He said, Brother Danny, he said, I felt like people wouldn't listen to me. They expect me to be perfect, that they can do anything they want to. He said, I had a man, he said, I own a house near the church, his own personal house. He said, I rented it to a man in the church. So he played bass guitar. And he said, I rented him my house. Well, he got a girlfriend. This girl started coming to church, and that was his girlfriend. So he moved her in. And they started living together. And she sang in the choir, and he played the bass guitar. in our church, and he's living in my house. And he said, look, y'all. He said, I said something about it. You can't do this. And he said, they got mad and said it wasn't none of my business. And he said, the people in the church took their side and said, their personal life ain't none of your business, preacher. He said, wait a minute, it's my house that I own and I'm the pastor and ain't none of my business? They said, that's right. Our personal life ain't none of your business. For all you that say that, I'll bet you if it's my personal life, you'd make it your business. Wouldn't you? If I was checking up, which I am not, if I was checking up, you'd say, all you men ought to go over there. Well, I'm going to tell you something, buddy. If it's wrong for me to shack up, it's wrong for you to shack up. Amen? What if you say, if I got arrested for being drunk downtown Morganton, you'd have a heart attack. That's right. But you're a preacher. Listen, the same Bible that says it's wrong for me to get drunk says it's wrong for you to get drunk. It's just as wrong. You say, no, it ain't. It's more wrong. No, it ain't either. It ain't more wrong for me than it is for you. What if I come up here and I'd roll me a joint? You know why you're laughing? Because you think, that'll never happen. That's right. That'll never happen. If I'm in my right mind, that'll never happen. I'm in my right mind. I ain't never smoked a joint in my life. Thank God. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've never been drunk. I've never smoked a cigarette. My sister over there this morning, she tried to get me to. No, she didn't. Do you remember that time we smoked cigarettes in the basement? Or was that Sandy? Oh, it was you. She rolled one. Said, here, Danny. I was just a little kid. Innocent. Knew not that it was wrong. No, the truth is, Daddy smoked all the time. Daddy smoked one right after another. When one went out, he lit another. And one went out, he lit another. When he was working, he could hold them in his lips, you know. He'd hold them in his lips like that. And we got in the basement one time, and we lit one. And I went, I thought, well, this is awful. What'd I get out of this? He's like, I don't know. And that's the only time I ever touched one. I was about 7 or 8 years old. You say, Brother Danny, but you're a preacher. Yeah, I know. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. If I put a big tattoo all the way around my neck, all the way around, if it said King James, big letters about that big, y'all say, he's getting sort of weird, ain't he? You're judging me. You shouldn't judge me like that. The truth is, you would judge me, though. The truth is. And I don't always do everything everybody wants me to. I try to live right and serve God, but I can't please everybody. I ain't trying to say you're supposed to. I ain't trying to dictate your personal life. But I'm telling you, if you're sinning, it is my business. Sure is. If you're doing anything in the church, you're singing in the choir, you're teaching Sunday school, you're doing, it is my business. Yes. Well, leave it. I'm going to stop right there. We expect the preacher. Here it is, Pastor Appreciation Day. Y'all expect me to walk chalk. And you should. I might miss it a lot, but I try. And I expect you to, too. Amen. I sure do. I expect you to, too. One of these days, you're going to die. We're going to die one of these days. And we'll look back, and we'll wish we'd have done more. What if you said, Brother Danny, you pay your tithes? And I said, I give $10 about every 2 weeks. I'll throw a 10 in there sometimes when I'm there. And if I'm not there, that's a freebie. Didn't go to church, didn't have to give nothing. What if I said that? You say, well, don't you preach to us about paying your tithes if you don't even do it yourself. And you'd be absolutely right. If I pay mine, you ought to pay yours. That's right. That's right. That's right. What if I said, well, I need it more than the church does. Church got all that money. Look at that big pulpit made out of cherry chandeliers. I ain't got chandeliers in my house. I need it more than they do. I'll just keep my money. Well, what if I said that? Well, you're stealing. You're stealing from God. Okay? I've seen several tearing your cards up while I've been up here. Put that $5 back in your pocketbook, honey. He ain't getting nothing we've got. It was worth $5 to tell you what I've said this morning. I want you to know this morning I love y'all. And we have expectations of each other. And we should. We should. Belonging to a church is a big deal. A lady said one time, and I'm hushing. Desi can come on up here. We're not even going to sing. Belonging to a church is a big deal. I had a man tell me one time, we was having revival or something for the kids. And he said, I can't even go in. They got a ball game. And I said, well, wait a minute. We're having church. And he said, but they have an obligation to their team. When they join that team, they have an obligation. I said, wait a minute, dude. You messed up in your head. You have an obligation to God first. Your first obligation is to God. And then everything else. All right? Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for all you've done for us. Thank you for our church. Thank you, Lord, for them putting up with me. Lord, thank you that we can put up with each other till we get home to be with Jesus. Our Father, we pray this morning that you bless every single person here this morning. Thank you for our visitors. We pray you bless them. Have your way in our hearts, Lord, today. God, do what ought to be done in every life. I pray for that one here this morning, maybe never even been saved. This will be a good day to get saved. I pray for that one this morning that's struggling. You'd help them this morning. Our heads are bowed this morning. While our eyes are closed, Christians are praying. Maybe God's dealing with your heart right now. Maybe I said something in the message that made you mad. That's what you need to pray about. That right there is where God's dealing with you and your flesh don't like it. And I don't like it either. When people preach to me, I don't like it either. But get it right. Get it right. Get it right. Say right now, Lord, help me with that. Lord, help me with that being faithful. Help me with that loving each other. Help me with that being loyal to the Lord, to the church. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Right now, I pray. Dear God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you'd help every one of us. Have your way in our lives. God, meet back with us tonight. Do what ought to be done in our lives. Bless our church. Cause it to go and grow and prosper for the glory of God. And we'll thank you for it. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.